Well, praise the Lord. You can be seated. We're just going to talk tonight. I get started talking, then I get carried away. And I'm going to be all over the place. But I'm mainly going to talk out of the book of St. Luke, chapter 10. And I'll go back and forth. I'm supposed to give you a title. I'm going to give you, my first title was going to be, Are You My Mother? I'm assuming most people in this room have read that book. Are You My Mother? It's one of them good old Dr. Seuss. We were back today talking about Are You My Mother? The Cat in the Hat. Green Eggs and Ham. Thing One and Thing Two. I don't know if some of y'all read those books. See, nowadays, you know, y'all have all that fancy stuff. You can look at it on the computer. But when I was a little kid, we got the real book. And we wore the pages out in the book. But the real story is a little bit deeper than that. But I just, in the Are You My Mother, I looked at it because it makes sense. The little bird that was born while his mother was away, he somehow got out of the nest. And he wandered off. And guess what he started doing? The little bird started looking for his mother. The story goes, he talked to the dog. He talked to cats. He was looking for his mother. The reason I'm bringing that story up because the little bird was lost. The bird was lost. And we all have been lost. Let's be honest with each other. We have been lost. The Bible tells us we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, we sometimes spend time, I tell people, wanting to point our fingers at somebody else. I'm not as bad as they are. Well, I didn't do what they did. Listen to me. Let me go. Can you give me 1 Corinthians chapter 6? Okay. What did you do to her? Oh, boy. I'm way past that stage. I don't have to worry about that anymore. Let me start at verse number 9. It says, Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infidels, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. If we pause on that list and take a moment and be honest with ourselves, most of us can find at least one thing on that list that we have violated. Give me Galatians chapter 5. And I'll pick it up at verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murderers, drunkenness, revelers, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Understand something. I bring it up to get this out of the way because we are all guilty. There is no one in this room who's not guilty. So understanding that, we have to understand some things. Let me ask you a question, because I'm going back to Luke chapter 10, because it's one of a familiar passage. If you were in the mall and you saw someone fall and couldn't get up, would you stop and help them? Would you really stop and help them? Huh? Or would you pass by and keep going? The reason I'm bringing that story up, because in the Bible, we find two groups of people. I will hurry, because in one story, we find in John chapter 5, the man who is lame, who needs someone to put him in the pool of Bethesda. Jesus comes on the scene, and what does he say? I have no one. We know the man had been at that pool for a long period of time. You tell me that there was no one there who took time out to help somebody who was in need. We also see the story of a young man who's on a stretcher who cannot help himself get to Jesus. So guess what? We talk about it. His friends do what? They take and carry him up to the roof. They open a hole in the roof and let him down. It's interesting to look at this story and try and figure out, am I a helper or a herder? Am I a helper or am I a herder? A herder means that if that person is hurting, I ignore them because I'm not the one hurting right now. Or am I a helper that stops and helps? I tell people all the time when we talk about things, sometimes people tell you, well, if you need something, give me a call. I tell them that's something wrong with that statement. They shouldn't have to tell you, if you need me, give me a call. You should be willing to give them a call and see how they're doing. Not wait for them to call you. Now we go to the story. We know the story very well of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is not just a story about a Samaritan. It's about what happens. Do we take time out to help somebody? Let me say something interesting, because I need you to grasp this. None of us was around on the day of Pentecost. Now, we're all in the church today, and we have truth because it got passed on from one generation to another. In other words, we are standing on somebody else's shoulders. Okay? Somebody had to pass the gospel from one person to the next person. So we look around, and we don't always stop. I love Brother Long sitting back here. I love him back there. Because you know why? I tell people, we're living in the easy generation. We don't look at it like that. We think things are hard. But let me stop for a moment and tell you, would you have liked to have been in the generation, the first generation of Pentecost, where you had Saul running around, rounding up everybody? He rounded them up. He did what with them? The Bible tells us he threw them in jail, threw them in prison. He was there when Stephen was stoned. Would you have liked to have lived in that generation? No. If we're honest with ourselves, we wouldn't want to be in that generation. But I tell everybody, that is one of the first generations that had to make a decision. Because, I'm going to tell you why. Because there was no lukewarm Christians in those days. They wasn't lukewarm. You had to pick a side. You look at the generations that came after that, and you realize they had to make a decision. Am I in or am I out? The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua reminded him, whether you're going to serve the gods that your father served on the other side or the gods of the Amorites whose land we now live. But he said, but as for me and my house, and for me and my house, you got to make a decision somewhere down the line. You got to get up and make your mind up. I tell everybody all the time, ain't nobody going to heaven on easy street. I hate to tell you that, but it's not going to happen like that. You're not going to just waltz into heaven. The Bible says, count it not strange concerning the fiery fire, which is to try you as some strange thing. We listen and we look at it and say, you know what? I don't really want to go through things. But guess what? Every time you try and move up a level, there is going to be a test. Now, when you were younger and you were in school, you took tests all the time. But to get from the first grade to the second grade, you got to pass. There is no such thing in God's kingdom as social promotion. Let me tell you what that means. That means you just passed because you've been in that grade long enough. Nowadays, we have this thing in school called No Child Left Behind. I'm on my box because I don't know where that came from. Okay? Listen to me, because I'm going to Luke 10 to talk about the Good Samaritan. It's interesting that when you look at that story of the Good Samaritan, it's kind of interesting because it's a Samaritan who stops. You got, give me Luke chapter 10. It begins interesting. After, I'm going to pick up verse 1. I want you to look at this. After these things, the Lord anointed other 70 and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. He sent them out. There is a whole generation out there who needs to hear the gospel. Need to hear the gospel. We cannot sit in here and wait on them to come in here. Okay, I'm not talking to you. That, well, we sometimes sit around. But Jesus said what? He did what? He said, he sent them two by two. We have to tell the world about Jesus. The world tell them about everything else. Listen, I the other day I was going to the fitness center. And I'm going to tell you, sir, because I get carried away with something. Sometimes I just want to jump out the car and tell people stuff. Oh. Listen to me. I pull up on the side of this guy right there. He's on West Republic. He in the car. He's got, I guess, his girlfriend in the car. I'm assuming his girlfriend. And let me tell you something. They listening to rap. Got the window down. They blasting away. Okay, I'm about to get in social trouble. See, you can put me in timeout. I'll go timeout. If they can play their music that loud and make me listen to it, I ought to be able to say something about Jesus Christ. Okay. And I'm going to say something because I got under my skin. If you are a female, I don't know why you riding in a car with some guy listening to that nonsense. I don't know if y'all hear it, but she, okay, it's a she. I'm not going to call her a lady. I'm going to just say, she is a female. Sometimes you don't know the difference. But I'm just telling you, they listen to that stuff. But let me tell you something. They are listening to that because they are lost. Okay? They are lost and need to hear the gospel. They think rap music is soothing the pain. I'm telling you, they're trying to deal with whatever's going on. But here we find the story. I'm going back over to Luke because I'm going to talk about this. So Jesus sends him out. What is the church motto? Love, grow, serve, and go. And go. Are we fulfilling that purpose? Answer yourself the question. Brother Drew said he's got outreach. Outreach fits the goal. We're not going to get and fulfill the purpose without going to meet them where they are. Yep. My picture of this is, I always relate this to the medicine because I did it for years. The church is the hospital for the spiritually sick. How many people in here live in a neighborhood? You live in a neighborhood. You live in a neighborhood. Cole, I don't know why you got your hand raised. You live in your parents' house. They picked that house. You didn't pick that house. You know why I say that? Because I want you to understand this. Once you move into a neighborhood and you live in a neighborhood, you can't pick the neighbors that come move in. You don't get to pick your neighbors. Listen, let me tell you something about the church. The church should be all welcome to any neighbor that wants to come to church. We shouldn't sit around trying to figure out who we want to come to church, who we don't want to come to church. Do I want the alcoholic to come to church? Yeah, I want him to come to church. Do I want the drug addict to come to church? Yeah, come on over to the church. I want you to come over to the church. You know, we get care of who we want to come. We don't, the homeless guy. Do we want the homeless guy to come to church? Well, he's smelling up the place. I want him to come. How you think he's going to get clean? Listen. Now, I'm going to touch on a touchy group. The LGBTQ, whatever you want to call them. Do I want them to come to church? Yeah, I want them to come to church. I want them to come. Because let me tell you something. The world don't have the answer for them. But I know what the answer is. I know who got an answer for them. We talk about transgender. They got transgender. There's no such thing as transgender. Listen. You're either XX or XY. You either boy or girl. Okay. Let me tell you something. I'm up here today. I'll get it out with. I don't care how much surgery they do on the outside. On the inside, you're going to be XX or XY. I tell people, what does the DNA say? The problem is they want to tell you, well, God made me like this. My book tells me in the beginning, God made man and he made woman. God didn't get confused. You confused when you start trying to think you somebody you not. You know, we're having all these discussions out there. Well, what about him having surgery? What about this and what about that? Listen, the only thing that will fix him is a dose of the Holy Ghost. You know, we don't want to talk about it, but if we don't do it, the world hasn't done it. Show me where the world's done fixed it. They don't have an answer. We got some problems in the world right now that the world does not have an answer for. There's not but one answer, and it's in this book. In verse 2, Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers unto the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He sent them out to take the message to the public, to those that needed to hear the message. It's interesting that he tells us the laborers are few. The real question is, who will go? Who will go? Will you go? Will I go? Will we raise our hand and say, Lord, send me? The story goes on. He sends them out. Go out two by two. And something interesting begins to take place. They come back, And they deliver an interesting message. They deliver. They go do. See, we always worried about what happens if I go. What happens is not up to you. Your job is to go. If God sent you, he will give you the provisions that you need. He will open the doors that need to be opened. He will close the doors that need to be closed. See, we worried about the results. The result is not ours. I'm telling you right now, those results, he never tells us about the results. The results are totally left up to him, not us. They come back in verse 17 in chapter 10 and say, the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Oh, here we go. They come back and say, guess what? They're jumping up and down. The devils are subjected unto us. Guess what? They say something through thy name. It's the name, folks. It's the name. Don't let somebody tell you you don't need that name. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that the devils fled. The devils came out of them. So they're jumping up and down about, oh, you know what? The devils weren't subjected to us through their name. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Listen to what he said. Verse 18, he says, give me verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. If Jesus wasn't God in the flesh, how could he see Satan falling like lightning? Okay? Because Jesus came along, if you look at his fleshly body, he came along a lot after Satan came. Satan is the serpent. He was in the garden. But Jesus said, I beheld him like lightning. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. Don't let people try and tell you today that Jesus is the second person in the Godhead. No, he ain't. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. For 1 Timothy 3 and 16 says what? For God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preaching to the Gentiles, believed in the world, and received up in the glory. God was. God was. I'm telling you today, that's who it's all about. That's where the power is in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name of Jesus. So they beheld him. They were rejoicing. The spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the book of heaven. They're happy because the devils are submitted to them. But understand something. It's not about what we just go out and witness about. He said, rejoice that your name is written in the book of heaven, of life. The Lamb's book, the book of life. I don't care how long you stay on this earth. I hate to tell you a little story. You're going to have to leave. We all going to leave. The Bible says we all must appear before the judgment seat of God and give an account of those things done in our body. So what did we do while we were here? So the story goes now, I'm hurrying. Because I'm going to get to the Good Samaritan, which is an interesting story. Let me pick it up over here. And give me verse, let's start at verse 30, because this gets interesting. And Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Half dead. He's almost dead. Now, he's coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. So he is of Jewish descent. The thieves come along, and they strip him of his clothes. They beat him up, and they leave him there. And it says, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and we know the story. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I'm thinking the priest is saying, I got somewhere to be. I don't have time to stop off for the man who just got beat up. We don't know his name. How many people have we passed that God gave us the unction, we need to talk to. And we keep going because I got to get over here. I got to get this done. I can raise my hand and say, he's done it to me, and I should have stopped. Then you get past it and something happens. Now you feel guilty because you knew he was speaking to you. So now, he doesn't stop. The priest, he doesn't stop. He saw him, and he didn't stop. He went over to the other side of the street. I don't want to get close to that guy. I'm gonna get over here and act like I didn't see him. That's what the Bible tells us. He went to the other side of the street. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. He got closer. I can't move. I'm going to look at him. Well, guess what? He beat up. He's still breathing, just barely. Well, I guess he'll get better and get up. I'm going to go to the other side of the street. I'm leaving him. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says, and a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Why did the Samaritan have compassion on him? You remember, the Samaritans were mixed. They were Gentiles and Jews mixed together. Now, I'm going to say something. In our modern-day term, they mixed race. They mix. Gentiles and Jews. But I say the Samaritan stopped by because the Samaritan knew what suffering was all about. When Jesus met the Samaritan lady at the well, what was the first thing she told him? What do you got? You don't have anything to do with me. Why would you, as a Jew, want to speak to me, a Samaritan? They understood. Let me tell you something. As God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, you know what suffering is all about when the world has beat you up and kicked you to the side of the road and left you there half dead. When you thought the situation was going to turn out one way and it turned out a different way, you found yourself trying to figure out. Listen, if you've not found yourself in a situation where you cried yourself to sleep at night, laying on the floor till your stomach hurt, let me tell you something. You haven't lived yet. You just hold on long enough when all of a sudden your world falls apart and you don't know exactly what happened to it. The Samaritan can stop because he understood what pain and suffering and abandonment was all about. We got to understand something. Just because now he called us out and we're doing better, there is somebody out there that needs to be touched by the word of God, by the hand of God. We are the light unto the world. The Samaritan took time to stop. If you were the one laying on the side of the road, bleeding to death, half dead, you sure hope somebody would stop for you? But now we got some place to go. I don't want to get close to it. If I have to stop on the side of the road and get down and help him out, my clothes may get dirty. I may be late. But let me explain something to you. Them clothes you got on, God gave you a job to get the money to buy those clothes. That job you're trying to rush to, God gave you that job. He gave you that. So now we know the Samaritan stops and went to him and bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him up on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He bound up his wounds. He put him on his own beast. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. And he said, on tomorrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Listen, we have to become like the Good Samaritan. Not the priest, not the Levite. You know, we talk about Luke chapter 15. We talk about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. They were all lost. They were all lost. But each individual valued what they were searching for enough to go looking for it. Nowadays, you walk down the street, you're talking about lost coin. People drop money and they just leave it right there. You ever walk up and find money on the sidewalk? It didn't just get on the sidewalk on its own. Somebody dropped it out of their pocket. I've seen people drop money. They don't stop to pick it up anymore. I pick it up. I hate to tell you, I get enough pennies, I got a dollar. I got enough nickels, I got a dollar. But people leave it because you know why? It's not important to them. Because they feel I got more money in my pocket. I don't need it. Talk about the lost sheep. Why does he go look for his sheep? He's got 100. I lost one of them. He goes to look for them. Because you know what? Each one of them are valuable to him. See, if it's important to you, you'll take time out to go do it. You'll take time out to go look for it. But when it's not important to us, we won't. See, sometimes I think we get challenged because we're in the church. We forgot what real bad suffering looks like. We forget sometimes where we came from. We forget where we were when Christ found us. Now we're doing better. He's blessing us, and we forget where we started from. Sometimes I think we need to take a moment and think about where we started from. Whether it was Galatia, whatever sin we were in it. And we couldn't get ourselves out of it. See, a lot of times we think the alcoholic can just, he just quit drinking. It's a lot more to it than just quitting. We think the person addicted to drugs, they just quit. Having been around medicine long enough, I can tell you they can't just quit. They don't just wake up one morning. They may wake up one morning and say they want to quit. But I picked those two because I can tell you, you ever see withdrawals, it'll get your attention. Okay? Or you see alcohol withdrawal seizures, it'll get your attention. That person didn't ask for that. The person who became the alcoholic never thought they'd end up as an alcoholic when they started. They didn't even think they would do that. The drug addict, he didn't think he was going to get addicted to drugs. But I'm telling you today, the church has to be the church. I wrote it out, I said, the church is the lost and found business. They lost, we got to find them. We got to go looking for them. But to go looking for them takes effort. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world. He didn't say he loved one group over another group. He loves the world. We need to understand he loves the world. Revelations reminds us, give me Revelations 5, chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongues, people, and nations. There is no discrimination right there. Every kindred, tongues, people, and nations. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to go back because I made some other notes. Give me Luke chapter, give me Luke chapter 13, verse 29. And they shall come, listen to this, and they shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. There's no discrimination here about what they did, where they came from, what they look like. Give me Acts chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to read it. This is Peter on the day of Pentecost. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of where? Every nation under heaven. Let me tell, I'm going to explain something to you now because I'm getting ready to hurt my clothes. We cannot sit around and try and worry about, pick out who want God to save. We want to, let's be honest, we want to pick and choose. But he's telling me, I don't have a right to pick and choose. Because, explain to you, it's not my heaven. So why do I have a right to decide who comes to God's heaven? Somebody had to witness to me. I tell you all the time, I still have the book. From an acorn to an oak tree. They don't have that book around anymore. But I still have that book. Nowadays you got Into His Marvelous Light. But I tell everybody, let me explain something to you, why I tell you this. Because sometimes we lay a seed and it takes a while for that seed to grow up through the ground. Think about this. That seed that has to die. You dig a hole, you bury it. It's in the dark. It's in the dark. What has to happen? It has to grow roots. Roots are done in the darkness. Then finally, it starts to come up through the dirt, into the sunlight. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you plant that seed, that word, let me tell you, it's not up to you when that seed comes up. That belongs to God. God tells us just to go deliver the word. Deliver the seed and let them know. But we want to determine when it's going to come up. What did Paul say? What did he say about Apollos? One planted, another watered, and what? And God gives the increase, not us. We got a plant, we got a water. Now you leave the rest of it up to God. Oh, I'm just trying to talk to you tonight about living for God, being a true witness of God. Because if we don't tell the world, who does? Who does? Think of this. I'm going to make it simple. If you got a chance to go to heaven, would you want to be the only one in heaven? Would you tell me you want to be in heaven by yourself? That wouldn't be any fun in heaven by yourself. Listen. Who likes to go to an amusement park? Now, would you want to go ride all the rides by yourself? What do you say, Zach? Yeah. You want to take somebody with you. Because you know why? It's twice as much fun if I got somebody with me. Listen. Don't you want to take somebody to heaven with you? Don't you want to take somebody with you? Listen. Once you see somebody come into church that you witness to, who repents, get baptized in Jesus' name, get filled with the Holy Ghost, it does something for you. I'm telling you right now, it makes you, you know what it does? It makes you want to go out and get somebody else. You get excited, they get excited. You know, we talk about revival. I'm going to close. Now think about this as we talk about revival. If all of us went out within the next year and won one person, just one person, do you realize the church attendance would double? Not 10 people, just one. Just one. If I asked you to take a sheet of paper, you probably could write down 10 names that you know are lost and need to hear what God has to say. I'm just asking you to pick one of them. Just one of them. Listen. Jesus told his disciples to go out and do what? Make disciples. We talk about evangelizing, but he said make disciples. Make disciples. What does he say? What that really means? It's a process. If you don't go witness to one of your family members, you come across a stranger, make a stranger a friend. Make a friend a disciple. We all know people. Okay, I'm closing. Let me tell you something as I close, because I got some friends I talk to. One's a Catholic guy. One goes to Church of God in Christ. One doesn't go to anybody's church. I like to have lunch with them. You know why? I'm going to tell you two reasons, and I need you to get this. Number one, you don't have to be afraid of them because, number one, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm just telling you today. So no use in being afraid of them in the Church of God, in the Catholic Church. Don't go to church. I'm not that. But all of a sudden, we get to lunch. Guess what I got? I got a captured audience. You got to get to the point that you think outside the box. I can go to lunch with them because I can talk to them. I don't mind feeding them food because I'm going to try and feed them heavenly food, too, along the way. I'm going to tell you, listen, I try and tell them about living for God. I got to say my blessing. You got, listen, church, if we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? The Bible says no man knows the appointed day and time. Well, I'll witness to them next week. Next week may not come for two reasons. Number one, you may not be in the world next week. Number two, they may not be in the world next week. We have to witness why we have the chance. We cannot wait for them to get here. I'm closing. That's like me standing there saying, I'm not going down to the emergency room and see the emergency room. I'm going to wait till the patient get up to the operating room. I'm not going there. I'll operate on them when they finally get up here. If they're sick enough to come to the emergency room, it's sick enough for me to go there and see them. Listen, if God brings them across our path, they're sick enough for me to go meet them somewhere along the line and try and talk to them about, hey, let me talk to you a little bit. Let me talk to you a little bit. Because have you ever been somewhere in your life that you really want to talk to somebody on the phone and hoping they call you? Oh, you've never been there. What a world laying up on top of you. You just need to talk to somebody. And you're sure hoping somebody call you. Okay, y'all never been there. I've been there. Well, you want somebody just to call you. And you start calling people you know, and guess what? The phone just rings and rings and rings. Those people who are lost are no different than us. Can we stand as I'm coming to a close? I'm trying to get you to understand something. The Bible says, because in Luke chapter 10, the lawyer, what did the lawyer do? He asked, Jesus starts telling him, and he wants to know what? Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? But he wants to ask Jesus about who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Watch this. What's just the first and greatest commandment? Listen to this. I want you to, as I close, I want you to listen to this. It changes a little bit. The first and the greatest commandment. Matthew says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments stand all the laws and the prophet. Now give me, that's a close. Give me Luke chapter 10. Give me verse number 25. I want you to read this. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Keep going. And he said to him, it is written in the law, how readest thou? Keep going. And he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And what? Thou neighbor as thyself. See, early on, we talk about the first and second greatest commandment. Now, all of a sudden, in the book of Luke, it's combined into one verse. Look what I'm saying. It's one verse. Not two separate verses. It's one verse. To love the Lord with all thy strength. And to love thy neighbor as what? Not as my neighbor, but as myself. Myself. How would I want to be treated? How would I want to be if I'm lost? I want somebody to come along the side of me and say, let me tell you what you got to do to be saved. Let me tell you. As thou self. So when you read that, you remember tonight. When you leave here, and you're going to run across somebody who's lost, somebody that's hurt, somebody that just needs a friend to come alongside of them. Ask yourself, do I treat my neighbor as myself, or do I treat my neighbor as a stranger? If I went up and down the congregation night and asked you, do you know everybody on your block? Most of us don't know everybody on our block. Most of us don't know a neighbor lived next to us. Most of us don't. Because you know why? We don't take time. And time is not ours. Time is a gift from God. So let's go out and plan to be a witness, to be a light unto the world. Because eventually, in Revelation chapter 20, give me Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And I want you to listen to this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You can't take enough time to save somebody from the lake of fire. Understand something. If they're lost, they're going to be cast into a lake of fire. I wish I had time because I could prove that to you. If you remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man, as I close, Lazarus ended up in heaven. You know that story. He's in Abraham's bosom. Where's the rich man? The rich man's in hell. Being what? What is he being doing? He's been tormented day and night. What does he ask Lazarus to do? Lazarus, can you just dip your finger in the water? Just give me a fingertip worth of water. That tells you how they're going to be. And something's wrong if we are willing to let them die and go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Something, when you stop long enough to realize you've been saved, you can't even compute letting that happen. If I'm willing to let that happen, let me tell you something. I need to go pray. I'm just telling you, I need to go have my heart looked at. If I'm willing to let somebody be cast into a lake of fire, something wrong. I can't say I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ living inside of me, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, which was me. And I'm going to say, let them be lost. Let him go into the flake of fire. But he was willing to come save me. Should I not do the same for my brother, my sister? Let's pray as we close. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, oh Lord, because you alone are worthy of the glory, the honor, the praise, the blessing, the thanksgiving. Lord, we cannot praise you enough for what you've done for us, oh Heavenly Father. You came from glory to save a sinner like me. Oh, Lord. Lord, point me towards somebody. Let me be a witness. Let me be a light. You said, let my light shall shine before men, that they may see my good work and glorify you, oh Heavenly Father. Lord, go with us and keep us and protect us until we come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.